Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
The first four needs are called the needs of the personality, is what I call it. The last two are the needs of the spirit. And this is where fulfillment comes. You won't get fulfillment from the first four. You'll figure a way, smoke, drink, do whatever, meet the first four. But the last two, number five, you must grow. And the reason we grow, I believe, is so we have something to give of value. Because the sixth need is to contribute beyond ourselves. Because we all know, corny as it sounds, the secret to living is giving.
That's Anthony Robbins, famous motivational speaker, even more than a motivational speaker, and now soon-to-be television star. I understand he'll be getting his own program soon on cable television. He's known from infomercials, and then, of course, people started taking him seriously. If you listen to his advice over the course of an hour or so, there's a lot of stuff in there you say, well, that's good common sense. He has a way of cutting through a lot of the nonsense that clutters our lives and our minds. But what are the teachings of Tony Robbins, and what is the appeal for so many, and we're talking millions of people over the decades that he has been doing his very expensive seminars and building his media empire? We'll answer that question here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Robert Velarde will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Tuesday afternoon. It's the 24th of November. I want to hear from you for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can always Twitter us with questions or comments. We get those in the studio as well, @IssuesETC. In the second half hour of the program today, we'll talk Martin Luther and John Calvin, the two giants of the Protestant Reformation, if we can call it that. On Faith Alone, Dr. Philip Carey of Eastern University will be our guest. In the second hour of the program, we'll kick it off with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, talking about a new study on marriage. Then, a little bit later, Bishop Harry Jackson will join us to talk about a declaration issued by Christian leaders called the Manhattan Declaration, a call of Christian conscience. It has to do with marriage. It has to do with protecting life. We'll find out what they have to say, what the reaction has been. One group already, Truth Will Out, has declared it to be bigoted and anti-gay. So we'll find out what the statement really has to say. Dr. Richard Stuckwish will join us in the last half hour of the program today to review the movie Twilight, New Moon. It's got vampires, it's got werewolves, it's got teenage love and angst. It's got everything that's, well, it's making, what, $140, $160 million so far? Very easily. So probably the biggest box office hit. And of course, sequels will come. And we'll talk about that movie in the last half hour of Issues Etc. today. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @IssuesETC. Robert Velarde is completing graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's author of the books Conversations with C.S. Lewis and The Heart of Narnia. He's also written the cover story for the latest Christian research journal titled Personal Power or Harmful Hedonism, Accessing the Teachings of Tony Robbins. Robert, welcome back.
Always great to be on with you, Todd.
This is a man who has, and I think it's probably true, his claim to have accrued millions of people listening to his advice, taking it very seriously over the decades he's been doing his seminars. What is the appeal of Tony Robbins' teachings?
That's a great question, Todd, and I think it applies beyond just Tony Robbins to other individuals, some even within the Christian camp, that are sort of teaching different motivational ideas or concepts or ways for human success. I think the appeal with Tony Robbins is the human desire for happiness. There's some intuitive knowledge, I think, that everyone has that there's something wrong with the world the way it is, and trying to achieve some sort of happiness in our culture, which is often perceived through obtaining wealth, is something that Robbins offers. He offers an approach to worldly success with your finances, with your relationships, with your work. He's offering answers that he thinks are going to help people and that people want help in these areas in order to be happy.
Who is Tony Robbins? How would our listeners know him?
Well, Tony Robbins is essentially a motivational speaker and an author. We might call him a life training coach or something along those lines. He really rose to prominence in the mid-1980s. He wrote a book called Unlimited Power and then maintained sort of a speaking circuit and went on tour. And what he does now is primarily hold conferences, and he's a speaker, motivational orientation to what he talks about. Very expensive conferences. Some of these might run $5,000 to $6,000 to attend some of these events, or a few thousand dollars just for a good seat for a one-day event.
So, in essence, how would you describe his basic teaching?
Well, Tony Robbins is part of what we would call the human potential movement. This is a movement that gained some prominence in the 1970s and beyond. Back then, we would have associated with things like Earhart Seminar Training or EST. These motivational weekends meant to empower people. The human potential movement in general sees human beings as possessing great or even unlimited potential. Thus, they emphasize human greatness rather than seeing anything related, say, to human sin or depravity. It's all essentially about the great and wonderful things human beings can do. Often, these kinds of teachings are divorced from any sort of theological underpinnings. In other words, it's all what can we do on our own to achieve this great success. And Robbins really ties in to that human potential thinking.
I've listened to some of his teaching, and he seems to give at least a bit of a nod to religious ideas, to the notion of God. He doesn't view it as a bad thing necessarily. He says that's a good motivator as well if you're trying to live for God or honor God. Do we have any idea what his religious beliefs might be?
Sure, that's a good question. You know, Robbins is generally pretty vague when it comes to references to God. Sometimes he'll refer to God or to prayer now and then. But looking at the thread of his teachings throughout his books, I mentioned Unlimited Power. He also wrote a book called Awaken the Giant Within. If you follow him on Twitter, where he's got more than 1.5 million followers, as I checked earlier today, oftentimes he'll quote from a variety of Eastern sources. He will quote people like Marianne Williamson, known for her associations with A Course in Miracles, or Deepak Chopra, another sort of New Age guru type of individual, different things like that. You know, he tends to lump Jesus along with Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius or Lao Tzu. If you really get into it, you find that Robbins is more of a religious pluralist, sort of seeing, well, whatever works for you, religiously speaking, that's fine. And if we get into some discussion about Robbins' view of truth or knowledge, his epistemology, we'll find that Robbins really isn't concerned with whether or not something is true or not. He's really more concerned about whether it empowers or helps someone succeed in life, whatever that success might be for them.
So it would be fair to call him a pragmatist when it comes to issues of truth.
Sure, yeah, especially issues of truth. And of course, in extending that to religion, he's not so much saying, well, these religions are wrong, you need to follow my perspective. It's more, well, it doesn't really matter. If it works for you, fine.
You raised the issue of hedonism. First of all, explain what it is you're talking about, and then how does that apply to Tony Robbins and his teaching?
Sure. Well, broadly speaking, hedonism is very much concerned with maximizing pleasure and minimizing pain. It essentially sees happiness as the highest good. And we can get into this in more detail from a philosophical perspective. You have what they call psychological hedonism, which is human motivations in seeking pleasure, or ethical hedonism, which is pleasure-seeking as being morally right. But I think the basic point there in relation to Robbins is that he sees our motivations, in fact, every motivation we have, he sees as being related to human beings wanting to seek pleasure and avoid pain. and that is sort of the framework with which he forms his essential teachings. He'll even lump individuals such as Donald Trump and Mother Teresa together, saying, well, yeah, these are very different people outwardly, but inwardly they're motivated by the same thing.
He is a very bright individual. When you listen to him speak, he obviously has thought carefully about his system, and his system is more or less coherent. Does it have a moral underpinning? In other words, he has been famous for saying, look, you can achieve part of your goals in life merely through violence if you want to. But he seems to indicate that violence is probably not a good thing, but he says it does work if you're trying to, you know, find significance in life or something like that. Is there a moral framework for Tony Robbins' teaching?
I don't think it's quite fleshed out as we would look at it from a philosophical system. You know, we're not looking at a systematic philosophical thinker in Tony Robbins. You know, his goal is not to do that. And I would agree that he does come across as a very amiable, very intelligent individual. He does seem certainly very sincere and wanting to help others to reach their success. I think my concern regarding his ethical system is more the implications of his ideas. He writes, for instance, the question is, which of these beliefs is the true belief? The answer is that it doesn't matter which one is true. What matters is which one is most empowering. Now, if we take a statement like that to its logical conclusions, and what I do in my article is I say, well, what if a terrorist feels empowered in being a terrorist? You know, does that make it right? And Robbins doesn't really provide a structure to say whether something is right or wrong. It's all having to do with what empowers you and what makes you feel successful. So in that sense, the ethical system that comes out of what he teaches is very much deficient. It has too many problems in that people could justify all kinds of crazy behavior on the basis of saying, well, it empowers me.
We're talking with Robert Velarde about the teachings of Tony Robbins on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 24th. I want to hear from you. Have you heard Tony Robbins' teachings? What do you think of them? 1-877-623-6943. Twitter us right here in the studio at @IssuesETC, or email questions or comments to us, again, right here in the studio, talkback@IssuesETC.org. When we come back, we'll talk about Tony Robbins' belief that you can and should reprogram yourself. Stay tuned. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth, Issues, etc.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're talking about the teachings of Tony Robbins, motivational speaker, soon-to-be television star on NBC, getting his own show. Robert Velarde is our guest. Robert, there are several terms, technical terms, that those who follow Robbins' teaching will be familiar with: neuro-linguistic programming or its alternate, neuro-associative conditioning. What is Robbins talking about?
Sure, and Robbins doesn't tend to use the term neuro-linguistic programming anymore, but he did originally earlier in his teachings, and later he changed it to what he calls neuro-associative conditioning, or NAC, which is his term for what is essentially the same thing. Now, beyond Robbins' views of understanding pain and pleasure and what I consider the hedonism connection, Robbins basically teaches that we can create nearly instantaneous change in our behavior, empowering us for whatever success we're looking for by changing what he calls our states. Supposedly, this link is between neurology and our nervous system and body language and behavior and things like that. And according to Robbins, that's the only way that we can change our behavior positively. The problem with that, of course, is that there are a lot of competing theories regarding human behavior, and things like neuro-linguistic programming have only been around 30 years or so. So there's alternatives to what he's teaching, and of course it cuts against the grain of the Christian perspective that is Christ-centered, not neurology-centered or conditioning-centered. And there are other aspects to the problem, too. You know, Robbins presents these as sort of quick fixes. You know, I'm very much interested in seeing how his new television show, it's called Breakthrough with Tony Robbins, will turn out. You know, I'm sort of anticipating this sort of dog whisperer with people, you know, where somebody comes in here and tries to fix someone's deep-seated psychological or other problems in the span of just, you know, 30 or 40 minutes. Robbins even says at one point that if you master these neuro-linguistic techniques, it is sort of just like snapping your fingers and changing your state. But you know, quick fixes for deep problems really doesn't solve the issue of human depravity. And also, maybe God doesn't want us to find a quick fix for something we're struggling with, but wants us to learn from it, what we might call a soul-making theodicy, that is, growing our character and growing us in virtue through the challenges and suffering that we face.
Robert, that's my concern. It's kind of an overarching concern about Tony Robbins' teaching, and that is, Tony Robbins has kind of an ideal in mind of what the human condition ought to look like. He will admit that he is still struggling himself to achieve that, but he does present himself as the one showing the way to do it. And it strikes me that even a general Christian worldview, certainly a biblical understanding of our condition, is that human suffering is part and parcel of the human condition and, in fact, in the lives of the Christians, used by God for his good purposes. Your thoughts?
Right, and that's an excellent point. Robbins' approach and his teachings tend to be, well, let's avoid the suffering, let's avoid any kind of unpleasantness, let's change our state instantly to get away from that. But if we look throughout history and through the Bible, we see individuals growing in character as they encounter difficulties. You know, Christ even said, you know, to take up our cross and follow him, that there would be a sense of struggle. And Robbins' perspective is like, well, let's just make all that go away so that we can be happy. And that really doesn't square with Christian principles. And, of course, what is missing, I think, from Robbins' teaching is this whole sense of human depravity. There is no sense of that, which is pretty common within human potential thinking, that there's really nothing innately wrong with human beings. We just need to sort of reorient ourselves in order to have success and happiness.
We spoke briefly before about what may be his religious views. Do you get the sense that he is in any sense a theist? Does he acknowledge the existence of God?
I would call Robbins a soft theist. And what I mean by that is that he's not very committed, I don't think, to the essentials of theism. He's sort of like, I guess, it's more appealing, I think, to the audiences he's trying to reach, that, yes, there's a God there, or I believe there's a God there, but you don't necessarily have to believe that. But he's certainly not overt or sincerely committed to any particular view of theism. That's why I call it a soft theism. There's just sort of these vague references to God and prayer, But looking deeper, it's mostly an Eastern orientation of ideas that come out of Robbins, this sort of New Age bent to some of the things that he quotes and says that don't really square with what we would consider traditional Christian theism or any form of theism.
It's almost become kind of urban joke, the way Robbins started out with the firewalking seminars and things like that. And then, of course, this gets emulated by other, take the whole corporate group out and everybody walks across hot coals and somehow the group bonds and we're better and their business will flourish for the coming year. Is there something more than just spectacle to the whole firewalking thing that Tony used to do?
Well, the whole firewalking thing very much drew media attention to Robbins in his early days, and he still practices it at his different seminars and things. And the idea, of course, we hear the word firewalking, and some of us might picture actual flames. But what it is the bed of hot coals. It's about 12 feet long, and it takes a few seconds to walk across. You know, you might take 3 or 4 steps, and you're done. So it's a very quick process to actually do that. Now, Robbins doesn't say that it's tied to any kind of religious practice. His idea is more, okay, you've understood my approach to neuro-linguistic programming or neuro-associative conditioning, and now you're going to act it out. You're going to take some action. You're going to change your state so that you can succeed and you can do this. But it's really, you know, not much to it as far as a religious practice. It's more, having to do with physics, really. It's got to do with heat conductivity and thermal conduction and things like that. And in fact, the skeptics have done us a great service in this area. And if you go to the Skeptics Dictionary online and look under firewalking, you can read about it and see a little clip of an atheist who actually went to one of Tony Robbins' events just to sort of test out what was going on and explain how that works. So for Robbins, it's more of a symbol of, okay, you can do this, you can do anything. But really, it's an attention drawer for the media.
Whether or not God or any concept of God is integral to Tony Robbins' teaching, let's at least evaluate it in terms of a Christian worldview here. You say that the basic difference between Tony Robbins and classical Christianity is Tony Robbins has a self-centered view of the universe and classical Christianity a Christ-centered view. What do you mean?
Well, I think exactly that. You know, the self-centered view ties into the human potential aspect where we are very much focused on ourselves and our desires and our happiness, where if you look at the Christian teaching, it's very much other-centered and Christ-centered. We are to love God and love neighbor, and, you know, it's an outward sort of a thing that we do. It's not just for our own purposes. We're not doing what we do just for the sake of seeking pleasure, which, again, ties into the hedonism thing. You know, what pleasure did, you know, Mother Teresa get out of doing what she did and the struggle she did to reach people? You know, certainly there's a pleasure probably in helping others, but the motivation within Christianity and for Christians is love of God and love of others. And, you know, that, I think, is missing from this hedonistic perspective that underlines Robbins' teachings.
Whether or not they're directly influenced by teachings like Tony Robbins, how do you evaluate Christian teachers today who end up sounding an awful lot like Tony Robbins, but they will inject a lot of God in there and a little bit of Jesus too?
Right, and that's a whole other question, you know, of course, as to Christian individuals who are sort of trying to preach this health and wealth type of oriented gospel that God wants us to be rich and successful. Now, certainly there's nothing wrong with being successful as long as it's, you know, within God's parameters for your life, but that's certainly not something that's promised to every Christian. In fact, we have the opposite promise to us that we're going to be persecuted if we are living our lives for God. I think it's a matter of orientation. And in our Western culture, that sort of thing plays better. You know, we have sort of this materialistic underpinning to our culture as it is. But the gospel is not like that. It's something that works everywhere, even in cultures where that kind of great success is not possible. It's not about, you know, accumulation of wealth or things. It's about, you know, our relationship with God and how we solve the problem of human sin rather than trying to make our life some great success that doesn't have any problems.
Robert Velarde is completing graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's author of the books Conversations with C.S. Lewis and The Heart of Narnia. He's also written the cover story for the latest Christian research journal titled Personal Power or Harmful Hedonism, Accessing the Teachings of Tony Robbins. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
Jesus just can't be recruited to this cause. I mean, if you can't shoehorn him into the human potential movement, whether it be Tony Robbins or Joel Osteen or any of the others that are essentially human potential movements, be they secular, pagan, or Christian, ostensibly Christian. Jesus can't be recruited into the human potential movement because he was not here to demonstrate human potential. He was here, as Robert alluded to there at the end, he was here to solve our human dilemma, enter our human condition without sin and pay the price for that sin with his own life. He did not live for self. He did not live to avoid pain and seek pleasure. He did not live to reprogram himself into a more positive way of thinking about himself. He did not live to release the giant within. He lived for you and for me, a life of total sacrifice as a substitute before God so that his life might count for ours, his life laid down for ours and taken up again for ours. Now, whatever Tony Robbins may say that serves as good advice on how to get ahead in life, it pales in comparison. It recedes entirely into the background and fades away in the face of the great truth that Jesus Christ came to bring for us and for a sinful world. Nothing about human potential there, only about Christ's life laid down for mine and for yours. When we come back, we'll talk about Martin Luther and John Calvin on faith alone. Dr. Philip Carey of Eastern University will be our guest.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking gelato, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesETC.
Delivering apologetics artillery right on target. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
You didn't hear it from the White House, but a homegrown radical Muslim terrorist gunned down 13 patriots at Fort Hood, 12 brave soldiers and a civilian. In addition, scores were wounded in the rampage. What also isn't getting much attention at the White House is the 14th murder victim, an unborn child. Francesca Velez, one of the soldiers killed, was pregnant. Under the Federal Unborn Victims of Violence Act, the terrorist could also be charged with the baby's murder because it occurred on federal property. But will Barack Obama, who's considered the most pro-abortion president in our nation's history, buck pro-abortion special interests by demonstrating this unborn child's life had value? Time will tell. Meantime, please keep the victims' families in your prayers.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.